This evening we continue looking at Article 34, the Sacrament of Baptism, which you can find on page 868 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnals. Page 868, Article 34. I'll just read the first column there on the left side of our page as we focus on the effects or the benefits of baptism. We believe and confess that Jesus Christ, in whom the law is fulfilled, has by his shed blood put an end to every other shedding of blood, which anyone might do or wish to do in order to atone or satisfy for sins. Having abolished circumcision, which was done with blood, he established in its place the sacrament of baptism. By it we are received into God's church and set apart from all other people and alien religions, that we may be dedicated entirely to him, bearing his mark and sign. It also witnesses to us that he will be our God forever, since he is our gracious Father. Therefore, he has commanded that all those who belong to him be baptized with pure water, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this way, he signifies to us that just as water washes away the dirt of the body when it is poured on us, and also is seen on the body of the baptized when it is sprinkled on him, so too the blood of Christ does the same thing internally, in the soul, by the Holy Spirit. It washes and cleanses it from its sins and transforms us from being the children of wrath into the children of God. This does not happen by the physical water, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, who is the devil, and to enter the spiritual land of Canaan. So ministers, as far as their work is concerned, give us the sacrament and what is visible. But our Lord gives what the sacrament signifies, namely the invisible gifts and graces, washing, purifying, cleansing our souls of all filth and unrighteousness, renewing our hearts and filling them with all comfort, giving us true assurance of his fatherly goodness, clothing us with the new man and stripping off the old with all its works. Now I invite you to take your Bibles and open them once again to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is our passage this evening as we consider what baptism does for us spiritually speaking, as the Spirit is washing, cleansing us from all our sin. Psalm 51. As we get ready to turn to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 51, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, what is baptism about? What happens during baptism? What are the benefits of baptism? A few Sundays ago, I think it was during Silas's baptism, we talked about living a baptized life, how baptism points to our union with Christ, how we are baptized into his death and burial and his resurrection. And so in light of that, we are called to live baptized lives, to live in light of our baptism. Last Sunday, we looked at the first part of Belgic 34 and how the sign of the covenant, how the old covenant was replaced with the new covenant, and how the sign was changed from circumcision to baptism. And now this evening, we look at another part of baptism. The benefits of baptism, what baptism does. Tonight we look at washing. If you look at question and answer 72 and 73, they both talk about baptism in terms of washing with water. Does this outward washing with water itself wash away sins? The question 72 asked, and the answer is no. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from our sins. Why does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of rebirth and the washing away of sins? And the answer is this: God has good reason for these words. He wants to teach us that the blood and Spirit of Christ wash away our sins just as water washes away dirt from our bodies. But more important, he wants to assure us by his divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. We just read in the Belgic that in this way God signifies to us that just as water washes away dirt, the dirt of the body, which is poured on us and also seen on the bodies of those who are baptized when it is sprinkled on them, so too the blood of Christ does the same thing internally in the soul by the Holy Spirit. And what's it doing inside of us? Washing and cleansing it from sin, and transforms us from being children of wrath into the children of God. So tonight, think about washing. Boys and girls, think about the last time you took a bath or a shower. Think about getting clean and washing. Would you be able to get clean without water? Think about washing your hands. It seems like we're always washing our hands this time of year during cold and flu season. Washing, cleansing, getting those germs off of our hands. And what we're learning tonight is that just like water washes away the germs and the dirt from our hands, in the same way, the work that God is doing inside of us by the power of his Holy Spirit and blood of Jesus Christ is washing, cleansing, purifying us from all our sins. Washing and purifying. Reconciling and transforming. As one pastor put it, when you're looking at Psalm 51, you're looking at pardon and purity. What we see is justification and sanctification. And so the theme for us this evening is because of the steadfast love and abundant mercy of God, He will forgive even our most serious sins. He will wash, cleanse, and purify us from all our sins because of Jesus Christ. Blotting out our transgressions and creating in us a pure heart. Those will be our 2 points this evening. First, blot out my transgressions. And this is the reconciliation part of Psalm 51. Psalm 51, as we are all well aware, is a psalm of confession. It's about confessing sins. It's the Psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him, confronted him after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. It's a psalm of confession. Confessing his adultery, confessing his murder. He murdered Bathsheba's husband. But it's more than just asking for that forgiveness in and of itself. Because David, while he is asking for forgiveness, he's also asking for purity, for a new heart. In light of his guilty verdict, he has committed adultery and he has committed murder. And at this time, those were both punishable by death. According to the law, David has received the death penalty. Where can he turn at this point? Deliberate murder and adultery both received the death penalty. And David knows that no matter how many offerings and sacrifices he makes, it will not be enough. There is only one way to get back to God. And that is by turning and depending on God's mercy, on His love, and on His compassion. And so in this psalm, we have David throwing himself and completely depending on God's love. Throughout Psalm 51, what we're going to see is multiple sets of three. Actually, it's three sets of three. And the first set of three that we see is David's description of God's character. He's using three different Hebrew words to describe God's character. And first of all is mercy. Have mercy on me, O God. Here mercy is showing favor, being gracious. Next is God's unfailing or steadfast love. Here the Hebrew word is chesed, describing God's unfailing, never-ending love. And the third word is His abundant mercy, or a better translation is His great compassion in the sense of pity. So it's three different words, mercy, love, compassion. I'm not sure why our ESVs say mercy twice, probably because it's leaning on the RSV and the King James Version in the way they translated it originally. Here we have three different words describing God's character. David is crying out for the mercy of God, appealing to the Lord's unfailing love, and depending on His great compassion. You have the mercy of God, His favor, being gracious. You have His unfailing love, His covenantal faithful love. And you have the compassion of God, Him having pity on us in our sin. And Titus, when you jump forward to the New Testament, connects these characteristics of God with the washing, with the justification that is ours in Christ. Here's what Titus says. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. We're talking about what the Spirit is doing for us, spiritually speaking, in baptism. Here's the washing of rebirth, the renewal by the Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So as David is throwing himself at the Lord's feet, completely depending on God's mercy, His love, and His compassion, where do we see those three characteristics of God fully expressed? His mercy, His love, and His compassion for us sinners. We see this fully expressed in Christ. We really can't understand Psalm 51 until we realize that every word of this psalm is crying out for Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your steadfast covenantal faithfulness, according to your great compassion, which is fully expressed in Christ. We can't get ourselves out of our own sinful situation. We can't look to ourselves. We can't look to our education to help get us out of this pit. We've received the death sentence. And there's no way out except by throwing ourselves on the mercy, the compassion, the love of God. We can't look to our education. We can't look to our heritage, our family, or our own track record of how much we know about the Bible or how good we are. The only hope that we have as sinners is the mercy, love, and compassion of God. And that's why David is crying out to the Lord. Why is he crying out for God's mercy, love, and compassion? The reason he's crying out, the reason all of us cry out, is because of sin. He's confessing his sin. And that brings us to the next set of three. Three different words in this psalm that are used for sin. David talks about my transgressions, my iniquity, and my sin. And so we're depending on God's love and forgiveness, which comes through confessing my transgressions, my iniquity, and my sin. Think back with me when Peter is preaching the gospel to the crowd in Acts 2. And all of a sudden they ask, well, what should we do? They're convicted. How do we respond? And what does Peter say? He replies, repent and be baptized. Turn away from your sin and what? Be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That's where we have this cleansing from each and every one of our sins. Psalm 51 is about sin. It's about confessing sin. But it's also about the cleansing of sin. We continue by looking at verses 7 through 9. Here we have three more words. Three different words used to describe the blotting out of sin, the washing of sin, and the cleansing of sin. These three words come from rituals that God had put into place for the forgiveness of sins. And I want you to notice where all of these three words are pointing. So in Psalm 51, you have two chiasms. The way this psalm is poetically written, it works us to the center of it to make a point. And so first, in verses 1 and in verses 9, we're starting on the outside here, you have blot out. Blot out my transgressions, blot out my iniquity. And blotting out means wiping away. The record book of sins that God as judge holds is blotted out, wiped away. To put it in modern day language, the delete button has been hit. And then we move on to verses 2 and 7. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Verse 7, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And you can think of Isaiah. Isaiah 1 verse 18, come now let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And so you have this washing, and here the word references washing laundry in the river in order to get it clean. It's running water in order to cleanse things, to wash things. And then the third word is cleanse me, verse 2, cleanse me from my sin, and verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop, not purge me with hyssop, it's exactly the same word in verses 2 and in verse 7, not sure why they went with purge me there, but the idea once again is to be cleansed, ceremonially, ritually clean. So we're talking about the clean and the unclean distinctions that we have throughout the Old Testament. And now David is crying out for that ceremonial cleansing. Just like leprosy makes people unclean and they couldn't come into God's temple. They needed to be cleansed from their sin in a ritual way. So this blotting out of sin, this washing away of sin, this cleansing of sin is what baptism is pointing to, is what we are celebrating. Does the water of baptism wash away sins? No. Baptism, the water doesn't wash away sin. So then how are my sins washed away? Only by Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit. Baptism signifies and it points to this washing and this cleansing of sins. It is Christ by his blood and spirit that does this cleansing and this washing. And that's why the Belgic points out that so ministers, as far as their work is concerned, they give us the sacrament and what is visible, the water. But it's the Lord who gives us what this sacrament signifies, what this sacrament is pointing to, namely the invisible gifts of God's grace, an outward sign and seal that's pointing to what's happening inside, washing, purifying, cleansing our souls from all filth and unrighteousness, renewing our hearts and filling them with all comfort, giving us true assurance of his fatherly goodness, clothing us with the new self and stripping off the old self and its practices. And so the outward washing of baptism points to what's going on spiritually in our hearts as God, by Christ's blood and spirit, washes away our sins. Ursinus explains it like this. He says, the water, which is the sign, washes away the filthiness of the body. So the blood and spirit of Christ, which are the things signified or pointed to by baptism, wash away the pollution of the soul. As the minister applies the sign outwardly, so God, by virtue of his spirit, applies inwardly the thing signified to all those who receive the sign with true faith. So we're talking about a sign pointing to some deeper spiritual reality, the thing signified. Think about it this way. Think about wedding rings. Wedding rings. Does a ring make you married? No. I mean, we've got promise rings, we've got engagement rings, you've got class rings or state champion. Just because you have a ring doesn't mean that you're married. The wedding ring is the symbol of your marriage. The constant faithfulness, the abiding love, it doesn't make you married. It's a symbol pointing to the reality of your marriage. If you lost your wedding ring, you would still be married. You might be in trouble, but you would still be married. It doesn't make the marriage. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't even wash away your sins. It points to Christ who saves you. Christ who washes away your sins. Jesus is the one who accomplishes this salvation and this cleansing, the washing and the cleansing that is received by faith in him. Our psalm here continues building to the center of the chiasm with the main point, which is verse 4 and 5. David is confessing his sins at the beginning of verse 5 and verse 4 and 5. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Surely I was sinful at birth from the time my mother conceived me. Against you, here's the heart, against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgments. So the threefold cry for God's mercy, unfailing love, great compassion, and the three-part confession of transgressions, iniquity, and sin, and the three-part cleansing of blotting out, washing away, and cleansing gets to the heart of this statement that you are right, O Lord. You are justified when you judge. It's referring to David's legal status, his legal standing before God. God is right, God is righteous, he is just, and he is the one who is justified when he judges sin. And so what does all of this cleansing, purifying, blotting out, and forgiving of sin have to do with our justification? Justification is standing before God and being declared to be without sin. It's the removal of guilt. It's washing us clean of sin. It is God saying that you are clean, you are cleansed, you are washed, you are righteous because of the perfect righteousness of Christ. And baptism points to that. Baptism points to that washing away of sins. The justification before God, which is received by faith alone in Christ alone. 1 Corinthians 6 highlights this reality. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And each of us can insert our own name and our own sin into this list. But then Paul goes on, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And what we are seeing, what we are hearing in this psalm, and what we see in baptism is that because of Christ, because of God's steadfast love and abundant mercy, he will forgive even our most shocking sins. But it doesn't just end with us being forgiven. It doesn't just end with the washing and the cleansing and the blotting out, us being justified, because David goes on. He's not done yet. He goes on to ask the Lord for a pure heart. He wants a new heart. And that's our second point this evening, which will be shorter than the first point. David is asking the Lord, create in me a pure heart. Here is that transformation. A few Sundays ago, we looked at baptism into Christ's death and his burial and his resurrection, living a baptized life, the significance of our baptism, us being united to Christ. Well, here, the second half of Psalm 51 points to that reality as well, living a baptized life, living a washed life. David asks for a pure heart, a renewed and steadfast spirit. Create in me a pure heart. Verse 10. Here the word create is the same word that's used in Genesis 1 verse 1. David is asking God to do for him something that only God can do. This isn't just a remodeling project or cleaning up a messy heart. This is a total remake, creating, a recreation. Create in me a pure heart, a new heart, O God. We can call this transformation, renewal. You can call it sanctification, which is the work of the Holy Spirit purifying sinners and renewing us into the image of God. So in light of this, in response to this, David now promises to do three things. His first promise is to teach sinners about God's ways. That's verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. We know from our own lives that God is willing to forgive even the most wretched sinners if we turn to Him in repentance and faith. And now we go on to teach, not let me tell you about mercy, let me teach you about, but let me show you and explain to you God's mercy at work in my life. So that's the first promise. I will teach sinners. Second, he promises to praise God. Verses 14 and 15. Save me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Blood guiltiness is a reference to the guilt because of bloodshed or murder. He's asking the Lord to save him from that guilty verdict so that he can praise God. The God of my salvation, my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness, praising the Lord because we are saved from our guilt, praising God because of his righteousness that is now ours in Jesus Christ. And then his third promise, to sacrifice to God, not animals, but himself. Sacrificing to God himself, verses 16 and 17. We deserve the death penalty because of our sins, just like David. Animal sacrifices, burnt offerings, those are not enough. And Psalm 51 assures us that God, because of his steadfast love, because of his abundant mercy, because of his great compassion, will forgive even the most serious of sins because of the blood of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. When we turn to him in repentance and faith, forgiveness of sins is not found in sacrifices and burnt offerings, but rather in God's mercy, in his unfailing love, in his great compassion shown to us in Christ. The one who died to pay the penalty for our sins with his blood, so that we could be justified, declared righteous, sanctified, glorified. He sends his Spirit so that we could have a new and a pure heart and live in light of this washing, this cleansing that is ours in Christ. So what does all of this mean for you today? Your sins may be as great as David's were, maybe even greater. But the grace and the love and the compassion of our Lord in Christ can cleanse you, wash you, blot out those sins and transgressions and trespasses. Our comfort and assurance is that just as real as the physical water, physical washing with water, washing our hands, or the water we see in baptism, just as real is God washing away our sins spiritually by Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit. And if God is willing to do that for David, blot out his transgressions and forgive his sins, then how much more is God willing to forgive our sins because of Jesus Christ? Because of Christ's sacrifice, God will forgive even the most serious sins if we turn to him in repentance and faith, believing in the washing, in the saving that is ours in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, praising you for the great things that you have done. We praise you, Lord, for what's taking place in us spiritually through the power of Christ's blood and Holy Spirit. The washing and the cleansing, the renewing, so that we can be declared justified, declared righteous in your sight because of Christ, because of his righteousness. Father, as we go into the week ahead, it's our prayer that you will help us to live in light of this forgiveness and washing that is ours in Jesus Christ. To live baptized lives, to live washed and cleansed lives because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.